Congratulations on your commitment to creating an extraordinary quality of life, a life in which you choose personal and financial freedom, not only for yourself, but for all those with whom you share these tools for success. Now, let's begin the journey.
Hello, and welcome to the new Lead the Field coaching program. I'm Sandy Gallagher, co-founder of the Proctor Gallagher Institute and Bob Proctor's business partner, and I am so enthused for you that you're in this new Lead the Field coaching program because you are going to be amazed at what it will do for you. It is such a pleasure to work along with Bob on this program. You know, the original Lead the Field program, it has such a rich history. In fact, it played a huge role and was partially responsible for starting the entire personal development industry in recorded fashion as we know it today. It was the first complete personal development program ever offered by Nightingale Konik Corporation. Lead the Field has been heard by millions of people all over the world, and it became known as a program of presidents. Earl Nightingale was a veritable genius. He was a Socrates of our time. He was wise and insightful. He had a deep, charismatic, and commanding voice. And when Earl spoke, people wanted to listen. That's probably why he was on radio stations literally around the world. In fact, for a few years, Earl Nightingale held the distinction of being the most listened to person in the history of the broadcasting industry. As you listen to Earl Nightingale speak to you about your potential, you wanted to learn, you wanted to grow, you wanted to become all that you could become. As Lead the Field recordings were heard, loved, and listened to repeatedly, the listeners began to experience profound changes taking place in the results they were getting in their lives. The Lead the Field recordings were affecting people in powerful ways. Through the repetition of listening to each lesson, the listener was actually shifting deep subconscious conditioning. In most cases, they weren't consciously aware of what was actually happening. Bob Proctor was one of those people whose life changed dramatically from Lead the Field, although he didn't initially understand the cause of the change either. Bob has often explained that he was amazed at his own accomplishments. Things were happening that he had been raised to believe could not and would not happen. Let me talk to you for a minute about my business partner, Bob Proctor, because he is a fascinating man. Bob is the one person who studied the Lead the Field series as a lifelong project. In 1961, he began listening to Earl Nightingale's recordings. With no formal education, no business experience, his income shot up to over $175,000 a year. Now, that's pretty incredible when you consider that he was a fireman earning $4,000 a year, and he was $6,000 in debt when this whole process started. And then in less than 5 years, his income went over $1 million a year. Bob was positively hooked on recorded learning, and he wanted to share these recordings with absolutely everyone, everywhere. But around 5 years into this transformation, he was hooked not only on wanting to learn more, but he was now being driven by a question. What happened? Why was he changing? He seriously wanted to know what it was about these recordings that was causing people's lives to change so dramatically. In an attempt to find out exactly what did happen, he began looking for someone who could tell him. And although he never found one person that could answer his question, he did find the answers he was looking for through a number of people who became very important mentors of his. Leland Val Vandewall and Dr. C. Harry Roeder are two people that played a huge role in helping Bob Proctor understand the mind and what the repetition of listening to these recordings was doing to him and for him. They explained to Bob how all the information in Earl Nightingale's recordings was based on the laws that govern the universe. They also helped Bob understand that Earl Nightingale didn't become the most listened to man in broadcasting by accident. Earl Nightingale understood and applied the laws to his life and to his business. Earl Nightingale also aligned himself with a brilliant businessman who became his partner, Lloyd Conant, who was a very wise individual. And this was a valuable lesson Bob Proctor learned, that wise people historically have always surrounded themselves with good people, and they either consciously or unconsciously work in harmony with the laws of the universe. Bob Proctor, Val Vandewall, and Dr. Roeder worked together very closely for the next 10 years, and Bob became so inspired with what he was learning that he had a strong urge to get closer to the source of the inspiration. He ultimately left his business and moved his family to Chicago to work for the Nightingale Conant Corporation, and he became vice president of sales after just a year, and all the while he listened to Lead the Field. Bob Proctor was one of the few people who was personally mentored by both Earl Nightingale and his partner and best friend, Lloyd Conant. Bob has told me on numerous occasions how he considered the time with them to be extremely valuable. Through the personal coaching he received, he was able to grasp the subtle insights of the Lead the Field program. He took the project a step further. Using the basic foundation of Lead the Field, Bob Proctor added breakthrough insights to show people how to control their subconscious mind and subsequently their actions to a degree unmatched by anyone else. Bob then proved the effectiveness of what he had learned by teaching the contents of Lead the Field to companies all over the world. He worked with Prudential, Metropolitan Life, Remax, State Farm, Malaysian Airlines, and many, many others. And he raised their sales by hundreds of millions of dollars. For many years now, through the Proctor Gallagher Institute and the Proctor Gallagher Consultants, this information has been shared with millions of eager learners globally. The results they are reporting have been nothing short of amazing. The Proctor Gallagher Institute is one of the world leaders in this industry. With this new Lead the Field coaching program, you are getting advanced, cutting-edge insights into how you can greatly increase your results in many areas of your life. This new understanding is going to serve you in life-changing ways. The information offered here is what everybody needs to begin living the good life, the life we were all designed to live. You'll learn how to take control of your subconscious mind and use it to make fast, powerful changes in your paradigm and ultimately in your life. This powerful coaching program is giving you the true information that Earl Nightingale had buried in every message. Here it is, out in the open for your everyday use. The very first lesson is going to move you onto a higher frequency of thought. When you're on this higher frequency, you'll begin to see things with a new, clearer understanding, and your life will be changed forever. Now let's get started with the first lesson. This is Sandy Gallagher, and thank you.
Hello, this is Bob Proctor. Somewhere in the mid-60s, I had the good fortune of visiting with Earl Nightingale for an hour or so in his office in Chicago. That meeting changed the course of my life. I returned to my home in Toronto knowing that I would spend the rest of my days on planet Earth doing what my new friend Earl was doing, and doing so well. It has been said there are three types of people in the world. Those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what happened. Earl Nightingale definitely made things happen. He never wondered what happened, although he very likely asked why. He never sat back and watched what happened. However, he was often amused by what he saw. Yes, Earl Nightingale made things happen. At one time, he was the most listened to man in the history of the broadcasting industry with his award-winning show, Our Changing World. Along with Lloyd Conant, his business partner, and a long-playing record titled The Strangest Secret, they'd started an industry that has been responsible for changing the lives of millions of people on every continent. A couple of years after that meeting, I moved my family to Chicago and began working with the Nightingale Conant Corporation. This was a dream come true. I would have willingly paid them to let me work there. Earl Nightingale and Lloyd Conant became my mentors. It was a rich and rewarding experience, an experience for which to this day I am grateful. Lloyd Conant and I became good friends. He seemed to be fascinated with my knowledge of their programs. I clearly remember how interested he was in hearing how I had been studying and teaching Lead the Field for approximately 5 years throughout North America and in England. It is probably worth mentioning that Lead the Field at that time was on records. We were not able to enjoy the convenience or portability of cassettes, CDs, or the Internet. We were, however, able to enjoy the tremendous benefits of this powerful personal growth program. It was exciting. Lloyd Conant asked me to teach Lead the Field to all of the employees at the Nightingale Conant Corporation. Over the past 30 years, I have taught this program all over the world. I have seen the sales in a number of large corporations rise by hundreds of millions of dollars when their people began to understand the great truths and universal laws that are buried in this masterpiece called Lead the Field. On a recent visit to Chicago, I had dinner with Vic Conant and his son Carson. Vic explained to Carson how his father had me conduct the seminar for the company oh so many years ago. In fact, it was before Carson had even arrived. He also told him how that Lead the Field seminar had impacted his life when he was just about Carson's age. It was there during dinner that the idea surfaced. I should record Lead the Field seminar for the whole world to enjoy. So here it is. Over a quarter century of intense research into the greatest personal growth program in the world. Come with me now as we explore the deep hidden meaning behind many of Earl Nightingale's directives. The understanding you will develop from this explosive information will catapult your results to levels of accomplishment that has only been dreamt about. Your world is about to change. As Earl Nightingale said, strange and marvelous things will begin to happen with constant regularity. If you happen to have your Lead the Field Management Guide handy, follow along. If not, don't concern yourself. Just pay close attention to what you're hearing. Listen carefully as we go inside the magic word. Earl Nightingale began by saying he would like to tell you about the magic word. He said the experts call it the most important word as far as the results we get from life are concerned, in this or any language. And the magic word is attitude. Attitude is defined as the position or bearing, as indicating action, feeling, or mood. And it is our actions, feelings, or moods which determine the actions, feelings, or moods of others toward us, and which, to a surprising extent, are success or failure. Now, here is where we have the first opportunity to add some real heat to this powerful program. Consider this. You live simultaneously on three planes. Number one, you are a spiritual being. Number two, you have a marvelous mind. And three, you live in a physical body. Now, it's the spiritual, non-physical world where the thought energy is. And, of course, you've been gifted with an intellect, and through the use of your intellectual factors, you can tap into this thought world, this non-physical spiritual element of yourself, and build ideas. Because it's ideas that are built with the intellect. And then, of course, those ideas are expressed with and through the physical aspect of your personality, your body. That's where you move into action. And you produce things or results. Earl explained that attitude is our position or bearing as indicating action, feeling, or mood. Now think of what he said. Attitude is action, feeling, or mood. That would indicate attitude is expressed by both your mind and body. Now, we think in pictures or images. We certainly have an image of our body, but we do not have one for our mind. No one has ever seen the mind. Where there is no image, there is confusion. The image is what brings order to the mind. This is why Solomon said, where there is no vision, the people will perish. Everything in the universe is growing or dying, its creator disintegrate. Well, where there's no vision, the people will perish. It was after years of serious study that I stumbled upon this beautiful truth. Without an image of the mind, your understanding of attitude will be very likely distorted. However, that does not mean you will not be successful. You could have a great attitude and become highly successful, yet not understand exactly what attitude is and how it has affected your success in life. A person in this position is frequently referred to as an unconscious competent. When this is the case, a person's success would be non-transferable. Since their success has its foundation in their attitude, and since they do not have a clear understanding of what attitude is, they would be unable to explain the cause of their success to another person, possibly even a loved one. Situations like this are not uncommon. Now, before we help you in forming an image of the mind, let's continue with Earl Nightingale's description of the magic word. It is, then, our attitude toward life which will determine life's attitude towards us. Now, what does this mean exactly? Everything operates on the law of cause and effect. Everything we say or do will cause some effect. Now, we're charged with producing causes. The effects or rewards of our actions will always take care of themselves. That's why I say success can be guaranteed and will come to us every time if we live in a certain way. Good attitude, good results. Fair attitude, fair results. Bad attitude, bad results. Earl explained, everything operates on the law of cause and effect. That was correct. However, we're going to expand upon that. Dr. Wernher von Braun, who is considered the father of space exploration, stated, the natural laws of the universe are so precise that we have no difficulty building a spaceship that we can send to the moon, and we can time the landing with the precision of a fraction of a second. He also said these laws must have been set by someone. Everything in life is controlled by law. Cause and effect is just one of the laws. Earl recognized that everything was controlled by law. In the final lesson, he quotes Ralph Waldo Emerson, who said, let him learn a prudence of a higher strain. Let him learn that everything in nature, even dust and feathers, go by law and not by luck. I can assure you, you're going to come to love that statement as I do. The law has been described as the uniform and orderly method of the omnipotent God. In other words, the law is God's modus operandi. There are, in fact, seven laws. I found it amazing how well Earl Nightingale included all of the laws in Lead the Field. As we come to them, they will be brought to your attention, which will heighten your level of understanding and give you greater control over your life. Now, as we return to Lead the Field, that is exactly what Earl Nightingale is suggesting. You see, each of us shapes his or her own life, and the shape of it is determined by our attitude, the attitude we hold most of the time. Sounds simple, doesn't it? But it's not quite that easy. For most of us, learning this new habit takes time, but once it's mastered, our lives will become as changed as if we walked out of a dark tunnel into the bright, clear light of day. A person with a poor attitude toward learning, for example, in school or afterward, isn't going to learn very much until he changes his attitude. I know you can think of examples of this in your own life. If we take the attitude that we cannot do something, we generally will not do it. An attitude of failure, and we're whipped before we start. So we know, then, that what we receive from life, what we accomplish or fail to accomplish, is due in large measure to our overall attitude. William James of Harvard said the greatest discovery of his generation was that human beings can alter their lives by altering their attitudes of mind. You know, in virtually every seminar you attend and every self-help book you read, William James is quoted, human beings can alter their lives by altering their attitudes of mind. That sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? However, it's not very easy. It can't be. Otherwise, more people would do it. Why don't they? The answer is obvious. They don't know how. James was right. A change in attitude will change your life. However, teachers tell that to students. Doctors tell it to their patients. Sales managers tell their salespeople, and counselors tell couples who are having trouble. Just a change in attitude is all you require. The person in question will agree. They desperately want the good that is promised to them. What's the problem? Attitude is a mind-body thing, and we were given no image of the mind. What I am going to share with you now, I found after 9 years of searching. It has been the single most valuable concept I have ever learned. For me, it brought all the pieces of the puzzle together. It is an image of the mind. It was originated by Dr. Thurman Fleet around 1934 in an attempt to show patients how they could heal their body by controlling the activities of the mind. And it's simply called the stick person. You see it illustrated all throughout your management guide. Just two simple circles and a couple of straight lines, but they bring order to your mind. This drawing will eliminate confusion and give you a model to begin working with as you proceed through this program. Now, to help you personalize this image, permit the large circle, the mind, to be your head, and the small one to be your body. Mind is movement, and as such is in every cell of your body. However, you must have an image to have order, so your head will represent your mind, insofar as the seminar is concerned. Now let's take a look at the conscious mind. It's a thinking mind. The conscious mind is the part of you that thinks. Visualize the top half of your head as your conscious mind. We're just going to divide the head into two parts, top and bottom. Your free will lies in your conscious mind. You can accept or reject any idea. No person or circumstance can cause you to think about thoughts or ideas that you do not choose. This is important because the thoughts you choose will eventually determine your results in life. As you accept a thought, it's impressed upon your subconscious mind. So, let's take a look now at the subconscious mind. This part of you functions in every cell of your body. However, again, for our image, the bottom half of your head will represent your subconscious mind. Every thought or word your conscious mind chooses to accept, this part must accept. It has absolutely no ability to reject. This part of you operates in an orderly manner, by law. It expresses itself through you in feelings and actions. Any thought you continuously impress upon your subconscious over and over again becomes fixed in your subconscious mind. Fixed ideas will then continue to express themselves without any conscious assistance until they are replaced. Fixed ideas are more commonly referred to as habits. Now let's take a look at the body, the instrument of the mind. Your body is the most visible part of you. Your body is the physical presentation of you, the material medium. It is merely the instrument of your mind or the house you live in. The thoughts or images that are consciously chosen and impressed upon your subconscious must move your body into action. The actions in which you're involved determine your results. So let's take a look at this. Number one, thoughts. Number two, feelings. Number three, actions. Number four, results. Go back and forth with this a few times, and it'll start to make a lot of sense to you. To change results, you're going to have to change your thoughts, change your feelings, and your actions. It's that simple. Don't complicate it. Now let's go back and take a look at what Earl was saying. To develop a good attitude toward the world in general, each of us must first develop a good attitude towards himself. We can't give to others something we don't have. So it's the attitude we take toward ourselves which determines our attitude towards others, which radiates to the world around us. When you see someone with a poor attitude toward others, you can be sure he has a poor attitude towards himself. He doesn't like himself. He's unhappy about something. A happy person reflects his happiness in his attitude. A person with a poor attitude most of the time is unhappy and frustrated most of the time. And he's a human magnet for unpleasant experiences. When they come, as they must because of his attitude, they reinforce his poor attitude, thereby bringing more problems and so on. He becomes a self-generating, doom-fulfilling cycle. But for the man or woman with a good attitude, the same principle holds true in reverse. Expecting the best, and that's what they get most of the time. Now, why would a person persist in a poor attitude, expecting the worst? Well, we're so familiar with ourselves that we tend to take ourselves for granted. We tend to minimize what we can accomplish, the goals we can reach, and for some equally strange reason, we believe others can reach heights which we cannot. We tend to overlook the fact that there is an enormous undeveloped potential within each of us, a great reservoir of talent and ability which we habitually fail to use. There are millions of human beings living narrow, dark, and frustrated lives, living defensively, simply because they take a defensive, doubtful attitude toward themselves and, as a result, toward life in general. Now I'm going to ask you to build an image in your mind of the stick person. I want you to visualize an imaginary funnel of energy flowing right into the crown of your head. Now remember we said the top half of your head is your conscious mind. You have there mental faculties that gives you the ability to build any kind of an idea you want. The energy that's flowing into your consciousness has no form. It is neither positive or negative. It just is. Energy is. You have the ability to build any picture you want. You can choose your thoughts. You can build the ideas that you want. See yourself with the good you desire. I want you to visualize yourself doing that right now. Now we're going to take that image and we're going to turn it over to our subconscious mind. Now, from a visual perspective, just see that beautiful picture drifting down through that imaginary psychic barrier into the subconscious mind. Keep this in mind. The subconscious mind is in every cell of your body and has no ability to reject the picture that you're turning over to it. The image that you're turning over is going to be bathed in emotion because the subconscious mind is your emotional mind. Now, those emotions are going to control the vibration that your body's in. Remember, your body is a molecular structure. It's a mass of molecules in a high speed of vibration. That image that you consciously and deliberately built and turned over to your subconscious mind is controlling the vibratory rate of your body. Now, when you hear someone say, "I feel good" or "I feel bad," what they're really saying is, "I'm consciously aware of the vibration I'm in." So it's the picture you build and turn over to your subconscious mind that's controlling your vibration, and your vibration controls your actions. Now think of this for a moment. It's your actions that control your results. Now let's come back to Earl's words. He said, "Attitude is the reflection of a person. What's going on the inside shows on the outside. One's attitude is incalculably powerful. It can bring about marvelous results for us, but we must train it patiently day by day." Now stop and think of the picture that we were building and what we were doing. We were choosing our thoughts, turn them into ideas, turn the idea over to the emotional mind, and the emotional mind controlled the vibration which controlled the action. What did Earl say attitude was? Earl Nightingale said that our attitude is our position or bearing, as indicating thoughts, feelings, and actions. I've often said that attitude is very much like a cake mix. It's not just our thoughts, it's not just our feelings, and it's not just our action. A cake isn't just the icing, and it's not just the spice. It's the composite of all the ingredients put together. And that's really what your attitude is. So do you see the pictures that you build from the energy that flows into your consciousness is where the attitude really begins. And you are in control of the pictures that you build. And the pictures that you build control the feelings, the emotions, and the emotions control the actions. You do have the ability to be in complete and absolute control of your attitude. Now come back with me again to Earl's words. He began by saying, "Now just for a moment, let's talk about people, successful people, who go sailing through life from one success to another, and who, when they occasionally fail at something, shrug it off and head right out again. No matter what a person does, wherever you find a person doing an outstanding job and getting outstanding results, you'll find a person with a good attitude. These people take the attitude toward themselves that they can accomplish what they set out to accomplish, that achievement is the natural order of things, that there's no good reason on earth why they can't be competent, successful. They have a healthy attitude toward themselves and, as a result, toward life and the things they want to accomplish. Because of this, they achieve some remarkable things and come to be called successful, outstanding, brilliant, lucky, and so on. They are quite frequently no more brilliant or talented than the majority of people by whom they're surrounded, but they have the right attitude. They find their accomplishments not too difficult simply because it seems so few others are really trying, really believe in themselves. Successful people come in all sizes, shapes, and colors, and in widely varying degrees of intelligence, background, and education. But they have one thing in common. They expect more good out of life than bad. They expect success more often than they fail. And they do. When you want something worthwhile, take the attitude that there are a lot more reasons why you can have it than why you can't. Set out to earn it. Go after it. Work at it. Ask for it. And 9 times out of 10, you'll get it. Now think about this. Our environment, the world we've created around ourselves, is really a mirror of our attitudes. If we don't like our environment, we can change it by changing our attitudes. The world plays no favorites. It's impersonal. It doesn't care who succeeds or who fails, nor does it care whether we change or not. Our attitude towards life doesn't affect the world and the people in it nearly so much as it affects us. It would be impossible to even estimate the number of jobs which have been lost, promotions or good grades missed, sales not made, marriages ruined by poor attitudes. But you can number in the millions the jobs which are held though hated, the marriages which are tolerated but unhappy, the parents and children who fail to understand one another, all because of people who are waiting for the world and others to change toward them before they'll change. Instead of being big enough and wise enough to at least make a test which will prove where most of the trouble lies, it's our own poor attitudes. Now I'm going to ask you to go back and build that image of the stick person in your mind again. I want you to see yourself and visualize this funnel of pure, unadulterated energy flowing into your consciousness. We're going to build on the last image. Build the picture in your conscious mind again of the good that you desire. See a beautiful idea on the screen of your mind. Now we're going to have that idea again drift down through that imaginary psychic barrier from the conscious mind. It's going to move into the subconscious mind, into that emotional mind. And as it does, we can feel it permeate and penetrate every cell of our being. Our entire body moves into a new vibration. Now think of this. That new vibration is expressed in action. You'll remember what Earl said. Action sets up an equal and opposite reaction. And as we express this attitude, the world reacts to us. And the action, as it sets up the reaction, alters our conditions, our circumstance, our environment. Add it all up, we call them results. Now let's come back and take a look at what Earl was saying. All right, so a successful attitude will help to bring us the success we seek. But just how does a person get this kind of attitude? The easiest and most effective means of forming a good attitude habit is to begin conducting yourself as though you have a good, positive, expectant attitude toward life. If you've never tried it, you'll be amazed at what happens. Remember that actions trigger feelings just as feelings trigger actions. Not long ago, I read a line which went, "Life is dull only to dull people." This is true. It could have also read, "Life is interesting only to interesting people," or "Life is successful only to successful people." You must first become mentally, from an attitude standpoint, the person you wish to be. A famous restaurateur was asked by a newspaper reporter one time, "When did you become successful?" And he replied, "I was successful when I was sleeping on park benches. I knew what I wanted to do, and I knew that I'd do it." You see, his attitude had been one of success, of expecting success, long before the material, the tangible rewards of success had been earned. The great German philosopher Goethe put it this way, "Before you can do something, you must first be something. Now we're back to the image of the mind. I'm going to ask you now to build this picture again. See your mind and your body. Now your head is the mind, and everything from the neck down is being the body. Now we're going to add 5 little antennae that are going to stick out of the top of your head or your conscious mind. They're your sensory factors. You can see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. Now, those sensory factors are truly like antennae, and they pick up vibrations. They pick up what's going on in your outside world. That's what your senses are meant for. They help you correspond and communicate with your material world. Our problem is 97% of the population use them the wrong way. We focus on present results. Now let's go back and think, what are results? Results are nothing but the physical manifestation of past attitudes, of past images that we got emotionally involved with, that controlled the vibration, which set up the action, which in turn set up a reaction and produced the results. Now, if we are going to let results flow into our consciousness, we're going to keep getting the same thing. What did Earl call it? A self-doom-fulfilling cycle. And that's where most people make their error. They let their bank account control their thinking about their finances. They let their x-rays control their thinking with respect to their health. They let their present results, insofar as relationships are concerned, control their thinking insofar as the relationships go. I am going to suggest that that is a terrible error, and it's one that virtually all people are making. Absolutely refuse to let present results control your thinking. Now look at what Earl was saying. Chances are you know people who seem to be what others call lucky. All kinds of wonderful things happen to them, and they give the impression of happily sailing through life, having a wonderful time, and accomplishing more in a year than most people do in 5. How does that happen? Well, these people clearly understand that present results are nothing but the manifestation of what has been going on in their mind in the past, and they must not let those present results control their thinking. Earl concluded here by saying, if you will conscientiously go about the test I'm going to recommend and concentrate on it every day, you'll find yourself beginning to join this small, happy, extremely productive group of people. You'll find yourself becoming lucky, as they say, and most of your problems will take care of themselves. Of this, you can be sure. The results will be nothing short of amazing. Now, here's the test. Act toward the world, everything and everyone, with an attitude calculated to produce the results you want. That is, if the results you want is more success in what you're doing, act as though you are already in possession of that success. If you want others to treat you with admiration and respect, treat others with admiration and respect. Now we're back to the stick person again. Get the picture in your mind of what you want, not what you've got. If you're a little short of cash, ignore that. Build the picture of prosperity in your mind. If you haven't been feeling too well, ignore that. Let the doctor take care of the body. You work on the mind. Build the picture of perfect health. If you find yourself alone and lonely, and you would like to have a meaningful relationship, build that picture in your mind. Do what Earl suggests. Act as if you've already got it. Get the picture in your mind. That's where it all begins. That's where creation begins. In your life, it begins with choosing the picture and getting emotionally involved. Now, Earl went on to say, treat every person as the most important person on earth. Do this for 3 excellent reasons. 1, as far as a person is concerned, he or she is the most important person on earth. 2, because this is the way human beings ought to treat each other. And 3, by treating everyone this way, we form an important habit. Now consider this before we even continue. The images you hold in your mind control the vibration you're in. If you begin treating other people as the most important person on earth, what vibration do you think you'll be in? If you see only the good in other people or situations, What vibration do you think you'll be in? You see, before the good can go out to someone else, it must come to and through you. This is why it's so important to follow Earl Nightingale's recommendations. Now let's go back and listen to what else he said. There's nothing in the world that men, women, and children want and need more than self-esteem. The feeling that they're important, that they're needed, that they're respected. They will give their love, their affection, their respect, and their support to the person who fills this need. Have you ever noticed that the higher you go in any organization of value, the nicer the people seem to become? You see, the bigger the person, the easier it is to talk to them, to get along with them, to work with them. Do you know why? It's because they have a good attitude. And the people with the best attitudes just naturally rise to the top. They don't have good attitude because of their position. They have the position as a result of their attitude. Now, I have found that people move ahead according to their level of conscious awareness. And we're going to see this. I want you to build an image in your mind of lines, horizontal lines. You might have seen them in your management guide in the section on the magic word. But here we're talking about a model of cosmic consciousness, self-consciousness, and simple consciousness. It's like lines on a pad. They're just horizontal lines. And this is a graph to explain levels of consciousness. The people with the best attitudes are the same people who operate with a fairly high level of awareness. Think of it this way. Science and theology are the only points of reference you can go to in search of information with respect to your true potential. Both of these areas clearly indicate that nothing is either created or destroyed, which would indicate all the knowledge there ever was or ever will be is 100% evenly present in all places at the same time. All the power there ever was or ever will be is 100% evenly present in all places at the same time. In other words, the way to fly an airplane has always been here. The Wright brothers merely became aware of the principles governing flight. Edison merely developed a higher degree of awareness when he created the incandescent light. It was awareness that took us out of the cave and put us in the condominium. Now think, an animal operates with a simple consciousness. The animal knows and yet knows not. They have senses. They can see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. They're aware of their objective world, but not their subjective world. The next level of consciousness is self-consciousness. That's where you and I operate. We not only have sensory factors to deal with our objective world, we have intellectual factors that will permit us to deal with our subjective world. Then you have the higher level that theology would refer to as divine consciousness, Christ consciousness, or possibly Krishna consciousness, depending upon your religious persuasion. Science might refer to this level of consciousness as cosmic consciousness. As a person raises their level of conscious awareness, it's expressed in their behavior and results. Individuals who work for $50,000 or $100,000 a year are not necessarily working for $50,000 or $100,000 because that's what they want. They're working for $50,000 or $100,000 because they're not aware of how to earn $200,000 or $500,000 a year. You're quite capable of earning $1,000,000 a year if you develop the proper level of conscious awareness. People suffer from headaches because they're not aware that they can eliminate the headache. It's their head, they made it ache, and they can make it stop. Remember this, you're not a body, you live in a body. You're a spiritual being. Individuals with lower level of consciousness react to conditions or circumstance. Those with a higher level of awareness would respond. The higher level of consciousness, the greater the awareness of the laws that govern the universe. They know that the thought energy they send into the universe dictates what will return. You see, a person with a very low level of conscious awareness is operating just above animalistic consciousness. It's fight or flight. They react to everything. Now, a person with a higher level of consciousness, and you and I can raise our level of consciousness, as a matter of fact, that's what this program does. That's what the Lead the Field coaching program will do for you. It helps you raise your level of conscious awareness. And as you do, it becomes easier to follow all of Earl Nightingale's directives in Lead the Field. you automatically develop a better attitude. And with a better attitude comes a better results. And you can go higher and higher and higher. Have you ever noticed the people that are way up there insofar as awareness, how calm and peaceful they are? Have you ever noticed that you're attracted to them? They have something about them that you admire and respect. It's that spiritual spark. It's in their eye. It's in their movement. It's in their energy. It's their attitude. Now let's go back and take a look at what Earl pointed out. He said, act towards others and the world at large in exactly the same manner that you want the world and others to act toward you. For example, treat the members of your family as the persons they really are, the most important people in your life. Carry out into the world each morning the kind of attitude you'd have if you were the most successful person on earth. And notice how quickly it develops into a habit. Almost immediately, a change will be noticed. Irritations that used to frustrate and annoy disappear. When some less informed person gives you a bad time, stay on track. When someone cuts in front of you with his car or acts in any other manner that shows his ignorance and lack of courtesy, don't permit yourself to drop to their level. Don't let their unhappiness make you unhappy. When you begin to develop better attitudes, you should realize you've already placed yourself on the road to what you seek. You are well on your way to joining the top 5% of the people. You've prepared the ground, planted the seed. You have made of yourself an embodiment of that which you seek. Now, in summing up, here are a few points to keep in mind. First, it's our attitude at the beginning of a task which, more than anything else, will bring about its successful outcome. Second, our attitudes towards others determine others' attitudes towards us. We are interdependent. The success we achieve in life will depend largely on how well we relate to others. Third, before you can achieve the kind of life you want, you must think, act, talk, and conduct yourself in all of your affairs as would the person you wish to become. Fourth, the higher you go in any worthwhile organization, the better the attitude you'll find. Attitudes are not the result of success. Success is the result of good attitudes. And finally, the deepest craving of human beings is for self-esteem, to be needed, to feel important, to be appreciated. When you treat every person you meet as the most important person in the world, both of you will benefit. To make these important principles a habit knit part of your life, here are some suggestions. Since your mind can hold only one thought at a time, make those thoughts constructive and positive. Look for the best in people and ideas. Be constantly alert for new ideas you can put to use in your life. Don't waste time talking about your problems or your poor health unless you're talking to a doctor. It probably won't help you. It cannot help others. Radiate the attitude of well-being and confidence, the attitude of the person who knows where he's going. You'll find good things happening to you right away. Lastly, treat everyone with whom you come in contact as the most important person on earth. Start this habit. Practice it consistently, and you'll do it the rest of your life. The objective of the Lead the Field program is to help you alter that deep-rooted subconscious conditioning, or, in the vernacular, to change your paradigm. In my research, attempting to find out why did these messages work for me when they didn't work for my friends, I found that I was listening to the same message over and over and over again, every day for a week, sometimes 2 weeks and 3 weeks. And it's the repetition of ideas that alters behavior. There's only two ways to change deep-rooted subconscious conditioning. One is through an emotional impact. The second is through constant spaced repetition. Listen to the same message every day for an entire week. It's vitally important that you do it this way. Overrule that old paradigm and do as I did, and you'll experience the results that I have experienced over the years. Hubbard one time said that when you read a good book through the second time, you don't see something in it you didn't see before. You see something in yourself that wasn't there before. I know you've enjoyed the many discoveries you've made in the magic word and in the ideas that have been built around the magic word. The stick person, the mind, the image that we're working with. Well, as you get into the remainder of this program, you're going to realize that we've just opened the door into a world of wonder. Good things are about to happen as you get involved in the following lessons. This is Bob Proctor, and thank you.